Today's gospel, we hear about the temptation of Christ in the desert. And to put this in context, I want to go back to the temptation of Adam and Eve in Genesis at the beginning of human history. Because as a result of the temptation of Adam and Eve, when they gave in to the temptation of the serpent, there's three ways in which human nature was disordered. And so each one of us, our human nature is affected in those three ways. And the three temptations that Christ is tempted with correspond to each of these three weaknesses in human nature as a result of the original fall. And so I think this has a lot to teach us about our own weaknesses and how the enemy tempts us and tries to get us to fall into sin. So if we go back to Genesis, after Satan had tempted Adam and Eve, it says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food," so that's the first way in which human nature was disordered, "and that it was a delight to the eyes," was the second way, "and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise," that's the third way, "she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate." So we're going to look at each of those three elements. The Catechism of the Catholic Church in paragraph 377 highlights the triple concupiscence. That's three ways in which humans have a tendency to sin, three ways in which our human nature is wounded. And they correspond to each of these three temptations. So the first is Eve saw that the tree was good for food. What's going on here? Well, the weakness in our human nature, according to the catechism, it talks about the pleasure of the senses. As a result of Adam and Eve falling into sin, they saw that the food was good for food. They were trying to indulge themselves. And as a result of that, we as human beings have a disordered desire to indulge in the desires of the flesh. When we're hungry, we want food. When we're thirsty, we want drink. We want to satisfy our lust. We want comfort. These human desires lead us to sin through gluttony or through drinking to excess or through fornication or pornography or other violations of purity, which can very often be very powerful and very addicting. In the gospel, as Christ was fasting in the desert, he was hungry, and Satan's temptation was to command the stones to become bread. Just make the stones bread and you can eat your fill. Give in to the desires of your body. And so that was the first temptation, which affects each one of us, is to indulge the desires of the flesh. The second says that Eve, when she looked at the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that it was a delight to her eyes. And so the catechism talks about the coveting earthly goods. It looked good. And we as human beings, we see things of this world and they attract us and we want them for ourselves. We start to desire them in a way that's not to please God and to use it for our vocation, but in a way that's focused on the things of this world. Some people seek political power or fame. Some people have a disordered desire for victory in sports. They want to win it all. They want to be the best. Or some people desire promotions at work, or they want to be in charge of other people, or they want a bigger home, fancier cars, boats, vacations. They're looking at the things of this world, and they desire them. Satan showed Christ all the kingdoms of the world in a single instant, and said they could all be yours if you would simply fall down and worship me. And so, too, if we sacrifice what Christ wants us to do, we can go after the things of this world. That's the second temptation. The third part, if we go back to Genesis 3:6, it says that the tree of knowledge of good and evil was to be desired to make one wise. What's going on here? Well, the catechism talks about self-assertion against the dictates of reason. That's out of our own pride. Adam and Eve didn't want to obey God and receive glory through him. They wanted to do it their own way. It was their own sinful pride. They said, "I see what's on that tree. I want it for myself, and I don't care what God's will is. I'm going to take it for myself in a way that's not pleasing to God." And so that's the weakness in our nature is our own pride. We desire to gain happiness and fulfillment in our own way in opposition to God's will. You know, this plays out in the temptation of Christ. You know, Satan says, throw yourself off the temple and God will raise you up in the sight of everybody and you'll achieve glory. When the Heavenly Father wanted Christ to achieve glory when he would be raised up on the cross in a different way. And so this was seeking glory in a way that violated the will of the Father. We often see this play out as, you know, people through their own pride seek different ways of fulfillment. You know, sometimes you'll hear someone say, you know, well, I can have relations outside of marriage. I love this person and I don't care what the church teaches. I love this person and so I'm going to have relations with them. It's their own pride and they're seeking out happiness in violation of God's will. Or people who will say, you know, I can redefine marriage, you know, against what God has instituted for marriage, because I know better than God how we as human beings can attain happiness and fulfillment. There are people who will experiment with embryonic stem cell research. Well, we can achieve medical benefits through this. So, you know, who cares about the embryo? We can experiment as we want, and we as human beings, in violation of God's will, we'll chart our own course. Or sometimes you'll hear people say, I don't have to go to Mass. I can worship on my own. I don't need to go to church. I don't need God's law. I'm going to determine for myself how I'm going to get to heaven. It's all rooted in pride, self-assertion. Each of us, I think it's important for us to prepare and to be on guard, because each one of us is going to be tempted in these different ways, and we each have these weaknesses in our will, and the enemy is going to seek to destroy us. And each one of us is going to be tempted as Christ was tempted. And our salvation depends upon us staying true to the course and not falling into the temptation of the enemy. The enemy will try and pull us away from Christ and pull us into darkness with things that might seem quite innocent at first. Our desire for our own pleasure, or the appeal of worldly goods, or our own pride. Our Holy Mother, the Church, in her wisdom, has given us three remedies for these three weaknesses. And Lent focuses on these: fasting, almsgiving, and prayer. The Church knows what she's doing when she highlights these three things. Fasting. Why is fasting important? Because our nature is to indulge our desires. In fasting, we deprive ourselves of our physical desires. So fasting helps us to build self-discipline so we don't fall into the desires of the flesh, whether it's lust or gluttony or other desires of the body. So fasting helps us to build self-control and self-restraint. You know, sometimes people will say, well, I don't see the sense of giving anything up for Lent. I'm just going to do something good instead. Well, it's good to do something good. But that misses the point of fasting. Fasting is meant to build self-control so we don't fall to the desires of the flesh. And so Christ commands us to fast for that reason. Second is almsgiving, the desire for worldly goods. Almsgiving, we give away worldly goods out of charity. You know, we tithe, we give money to God and to charity, in order to train us not to be so attached to the things of this world, but to give instead. And prayer is a remedy for pride. Prayer puts us in proper relationship with God, and it teaches us to do things in accord with God's will and not our own will. And so without prayer, you know, we chart our own course and pride takes over. But with prayer, we learn humility and we learn dependence and obedience to Jesus Christ. And so as we reflect upon Christ's temptation, it's important for us to prepare to be tempted, to know that we are going to be tempted, and our salvation depends upon us staying the course, keeping our eyes on Jesus Christ, and knowing that the disciplines given to us by the Church, fasting, almsgiving, and prayer, will help us build the inner strength to overcome the weaknesses in our nature so that we may attain victory as Christ attained victory.